Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing if you stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Nathan Barker. And recently there has been information surfacing about a new Friday the 13th fan film in the works called The Lost Chapter. Our contributing website, FridayThe13thFranchise.com, recently wrote about the project, and there is currently an Indiegogo account up for fan funding with many different perks available. I'd like to welcome The Lost Chapter writer and director, Tony Crespo, to the show to fill us in about what he has in store for his tribute to Friday. Thanks for joining me today, Tony, and how are things going up your way?
Hi, thanks for having me on, and I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, just another day, busy as usual, so I'm glad, you know, between the two of our schedules, we could finally make something set up to get you on the show and, you know, help you out with your current project.
Yep, yes, it's going to be awesome, man. I'm happy to come on.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. Like I said, I know you're busy and have a lot of things going on with that, so let's just kick things off. You know, basically, let's just discuss what got the project started in the first place?
So pretty much this has always been a movie I've talked about making, but I never really pursued it in a way. So I've been in film school for a while, and I came out right pretty much out of high school, and I've always been in love with the slasher genre in general. Since a kid, I grew up watching a lot of VHS, old VHS tapes and whatnot, like the Halloween franchise, a lot of John Carpenter movies, and Friday the 13th was one of the big films for me. Definitely the first four movies that I used to watch and repeat. They were just a lot of fun. And recently, I heard talks about a new movie in the works. And I know the game's coming out, and I've seen other fan projects and whatnot. But what piqued my interest was I was revisiting the films on Amazon, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if they just went back to just the 80s setting? We pick up after the fourth movie, and we go back to basics. New group of kids come in, all get killed off in ridiculous, fun ways, and it's just go back to a fun slasher movie.
Now, with some of the recent talks about the film that got canceled ultimately, but I'm sure you're aware that there was talks with that movie possibly being a retro 80s version. Did that have... Was that basically something that got the idea, you know, rolling in your head by hearing, you know, that information or reading articles about that possibility, or was it just simply on the old films alone?
At first, it was on the old films alone. So I heard about this project. So pretty much what happened was I got in contact with some friends, and jokingly, I'm like, hey, anybody wants to come on, produce, and act? I'm writing the script. Would anybody be interested in coming on and working on it? And before I knew it, I had so many people that I went to school with wanting to work on the project. So while I was writing the script and whatnot, I was between drafts. So I wrote the first draft in a week, and then, you know, I was getting notes from people and changing certain things and whatnot. Somebody sent me an article that Nick Pintosca, he's a screenwriter, he wrote a draft of Friday the 13th that was supposed to come out a while ago, and it was set in like 1988 or something, and it was going to have this, like, throwback tone. It was going to be, like, this Richard Linklater movie, which is funny because that's exactly what I was going for. And I sat down and read the script, and I pretty much fell in love with it. And I was just in shock that this movie never got made. So definitely between drafts, I already started writing the script, but I did get to read the Nick and Tosca Friday the 13th 3 script, and it's amazing.
Nice. Now, let's discuss a little bit about the title and obviously some of the artwork that's been posted. The, you know, red Friday the 13th letters, the lost chapter in white, you know, being that you mentioned in your teaser video that's on YouTube where you, you know, kind of, I don't want to call it a trailer, but, you know, your informational video there.
Yeah.
You talk about it being in the 80s and, you know, some of the things that you're looking to do. Is this film essentially your take on what would have happened directly after part four?
100%. So this takes place right after part four. And it was just for me is I mentioned that I love the first four movies, and they all carry that sort of same tone that the later films don't have. And I love the later films as well. Just the first four movies just really do it for me, where it's you're with these group of different characters and whatnot. Like in the fourth film, you got Crispin Glover, you got Corey Feldman, and then you got the third film, and it's just you have fun with these characters for the build up, and you have this the killer creeping in the background and whatnot, and it's just a good time until the third act where everything just goes haywire. And for me, that's what I wanted to bring with this film, was go back to that tone where you're hanging out with these kids for most of it until the third act, everything spirals out of control. And it was a way to bring Jason back to that form, in my eyes.
Nice, nice. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the finished product, but I think there might have been some confusion amongst fans as to where it actually stood, if it was just going to be a general 80s vibe, or if you were looking to actually start something, you know, right from, you know, the ending of four, you know, exactly what your thoughts would have been about Jason, because obviously, as you know, people probably are curious as to, you know, well, Jason obviously was killed at the end of four, you know, how did he come back? You know, what happened to Jason after four, if you're going to take place directly after?
Right. So this is something that we, like me and the rest of the crew were talking about when I was writing the script. We were going like, all right, well, he pretty much died. He got like, he got pretty effed up, you know? And, We were talking about, I was like, you know what, this guy has survived so many ridiculous things. Is it a stretch to believe that he survived this as well? And that's pretty much was my explanation, because I just wanted to get the ball rolling, just get a new group in there of these kids that they're aware of the situations that have happened prior to, with the whole Higgins Haven situation and the Jarvis incident. So for me, pretty much, it's, my explanation is he just survived. That's it. He survived the blows, and he's back going to doing what, you know, Jason loves to do.
Now, with that in mind, a lot of fans know that Friday the 13th hasn't been exactly right on point with continuity. So let me just ask you this, if you're to this point yet, as far as your design goes, do you plan on having the continuity with the way Jason will look as far as the clothing and things that we see in, you know, 3, 4, is there going to be continuity with your character?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been talking with, I haven't mentioned him yet, but Mikey Moratini, he's working with a friend of ours, Bree Tama, and they've done, on the short films we've done in film school and whatnot, Bree's done all the special effects makeup and whatnot, and Mikey, he's one of the biggest Friday fans I know. He's like an encyclopedia for these movies, so he was one of the first people I went to, and when we talked about this project, he talked about the continuity and what we were going to bring to it, and everything he does is 80s and retro, so we've been talking about we have to make Jason look exactly like how he looked at the end of part four to really capture this.
Perfect. I know the fans definitely will love hearing that and knowing that they're going to get the continuity that, you know, often lacks in some of the other films. So awesome. I'm glad to hear that also. And in the trailer, you mentioned the Tom Savini practical effects. So I'm sure you've got some, you know, awesome things in mind, you know, some good kill shots planned out. Is there anything that maybe you can talk about with that?
So, yeah. So we talked about, so pretty much when I broke down the story and the script was, all right, first, let me get a group of characters that when the killing doesn't start, I want the fans to at least have fun with them. They don't have to necessarily be the most likable, but as long as they're having a good time with these characters, it's going to build to the moments where we have these ridiculous deaths that have good payoff. And that's the thing about like Tom Savini effects and whatnot. Usually the films that he's worked on, there's always this payoff, you know, so when the kills happen, they're big and they're exciting. So there's definitely some cool things we do with like with the machete. We got a cool thing going on with a guitar. So yeah, there's a bunch of different kills we're trying to be creative with in this.
Awesome. Jason was obviously an opportunist, so maybe we will see something that we haven't seen before as far as an object used in an awesome kill shot. Like I said, sounds like you have some good stuff planned, so maybe we'll see something new.
You will, definitely.
Awesome. Good to hear. Speaking of kill shots, I know you're early on with things. Maybe we can talk a little bit about filming locations. I know people are going to be interested as to where this is going to be, you know, held at. What do you have in mind as far as where you're at now with a filming location?
Right. So we've been in contact with Cranberry Campgrounds in Michigan. It's this remote location up about 2.5 hours away from where I'm located in Chicago. And pretty much what this location is, you know, we wanted something where we'd be enough away from society to capture the tone we're going for, and they would allow us to come on and pretty much just play, you know, play around with all the shit they got. And they pretty much have everything that we're looking for. We're trying to bring back to the Jason Shack, and they had this abandoned cabin that they're going to let us dress up and really recreate that from the films. And they have this huge lake that we're using for most of the film, and especially the opening shot. And they really everything that we want to capture, they have for us at our expense. So Cranberry Campgrounds in Michigan is what we're looking at.
Now, was that something that you had a connection with, or what ultimately led you to Michigan? I mean, with all the other, you know, I know Chicago doesn't really have a ton of places that would work for that, but you've got other areas, you know, south of Chicago and, you know, over into Indiana. What directly took you, you know, to Michigan? Was it a connection, or how did that come about?
It was sort of a combination of both. We have our location scouting manager, Devin, looking to a bunch of different locations, and, you know, We saw a few different ones in the area. At first we were thinking, well, we should really stick to the city or the Chicagoland area, so it'll be easier for crew and actors to get from point A to point B, or we could just rent a place out, stay there, camp, stay in one big location and get the film done all in one shot. And Cranberry was, we contacted a bunch of different places. Cranberry was in one of the few places that was excited to work with us, not just us excited to work with them. It was, you know, they're being very, very nice, and they gave us a tour of everything, and they explained, you know, anything you want, we could change, we could take this out so you don't have that in the shot, or if there's something here you want to use, and you can use it. And it was pretty much that, the hospitality and the combination of just the vintage look it has.
Awesome. Sounds like a good place then, and hopefully they can accommodate everything you need so everything runs smoothly and you can have the perfect Camp Crystal Lake set up.
Yes.
Now, with that in mind, we did mention as far as your special effects, and maybe we could talk a little bit about, you know, just some of the props and some of the other stuff in the film. You mentioned that you had a guy that was, you know, into all that and practically an encyclopedia. Maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, the mask and the machete. You do have that mentioned on your Indiegogo account as far as some of the perks involved. So maybe you can discuss that a little bit for the listeners.
Sure. So, we got many different perks, and one of them is the machete and the mask, and I believe we're going to be even putting up the costume, just the whole get-up he'll be wearing soon in general, too. We're going to throw that in. But there's a company we're talking with that we've been in contact with, one of the many people we went to school with at Tribeca Flashpoint Chicago. He works for this makeup effects mask company. They have a website. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to reveal who they are yet because we're still in talks and everything, but they're willing to do all the custom made objects and everything pretty much we want for the film. And they've seen some pictures of what I'm going for and whatnot. So they're definitely who we're involved with. And at this point right now, we're talking with them about making all the custom made objects.
Nice. Those are usually fan favorites. Obviously the hockey mask and the machete are the big thing, so people are always curious about that. But it looks like
you might be able to see, you might get the pitchfork as well. I'll say that.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Now, your Indiegogo, it looks like it's got about a month left to go. Maybe you can just fill everybody in on, you know, what they can find on that website and what the other perks are.
Right. So on the Indiegogo, we do have about a month left, but we have some pretty cool perks. I mean, even if you could only, like I said, even if you donate like $5 or something, you're going to get a thank you in the film. Everybody who donates gets a thank you, but you'll get early access to the movie at $10. You'll get behind the scenes. We're going to have a great amount of behind the scenes, especially if we're camping out and we're staying together as a crew. I mean, we're pretty much, we have this whole family dynamic between this cast and the crew. And I think it'd be really interesting to see the behind the scenes of all that and seeing how this film got made. We also were giving out the physical posters, the 24x27 posters. We're going to have this digital scrapbook, which will have different notes of behind the scenes stuff going on. You're going to see pictures of, so it's pretty much the digital version, a book version of behind the scenes. So we think that could be pretty cool as well. We have a bunch of different types of t-shirts we're going to be giving out. There's one, they're all custom and different, but we have some cool Camp Crystal Lake ones where camp counselor versions. And we have art by local Chicago artist. My uncle's actually, he's done comic books and whatnot, and, you know, him and his friends have agreed to donate some cool art, and one of the art is one of the art pieces is on the site. You'll be able to see that, and it's pretty damn cool. And we have some other hand-drawn ones as well that we're not going to reveal, but we're going to put up soon. And we're excited for people to see that. But like I said, we have the perks of the mask, the machete, and everything else included. And also, we're going to have an early screening in the Chicagoland area. We're going to be giving out tickets soon. It's pretty much a friends and family screening, but we also, any fans that want to come by and see it, will be giving out tickets to watch that. And I think it'll just be cool. It's a cool experience to see something like this on a big screen. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not too far from you. So if things are in order, as far as my schedule around that time, I will definitely come up for that. I'd love to see it on the big screen.
We'd love to have you, yeah.
Well, like I said, looks like you have about a month to go, so hopefully the listeners will check out the Indiegogo. Like he said, you know, there's all kinds of awesome perks on there, you know, T-shirts and, you know, for those that are into the collectible stuff, you know, the posters and all that good stuff. So definitely get on there and check it out. You got plenty of time. Looks like your target goal right now looks like it's set at 15,000. So, you know, even if you can donate a little bit, anything helps. So definitely check it out and give these guys all the help that you can. They're definitely making, you know, something that I think most fans should be interested in. I mean, it's definitely a great idea. You know, the New Beginning obviously was a different take on Friday, and it has its fans also. It also has those that, you know, dislike it. So I really like the route that you've went with your idea of what would have happened, you know, after part four. You mentioned 1 through 4 basically being your favorite. A lot of fans agree with that. They think 1 through 4 is the summit of Friday. And it is, you know, I love part 6 also. That's one of my dear favorites, but 1 through 4, I have to agree also. Those are basically the top four, you know, right in a row. So I think it's great what you guys are doing, and I hope you meet your goal.
Thanks, man. Very much. Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
And you mentioned the whole family dynamic aspect. So basically, just to give a little bit of background, your whole crew is people that are up your way, whether it be former classmates, family, friends, you know. Can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit further? It's basically just, you know, a group of friends that's put the project together and making a Friday film.
Yes, exactly. Everybody, we're all willing to help each other and whatnot. It's sort of a small graduation class, so everybody got close. There's even some of the actors in the film are actors that we're just all friends with, and they're fans, and they're ready to be in it and whatnot. So we're excited to put this together and show you guys what pretty much you'll see the love that we have behind the camera, in front of the camera as well.
Awesome. And sometimes that's the best route to go. And you'd mentioned that you recently graduated film school and that this is your, you know, first big project. So, you know, I'm sure you're going to put your heart into it. You obviously want to make a strong impression. So I have a feeling that it's definitely going to be a good tribute to the Friday series.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Now, since obviously you're in the early stages, I don't know what, you know, where you're at exactly, and don't want to give away too many spoilers, but what are some of the bumps in the road that you've had up to this point? I mean, I know from talking to, you know, numerous people over the years that, you know, ideas sound good on paper, but when you really get started, there can really be some problems, you know, so kind of where are you at now? What's been some of the setbacks to where you're at this point?
Obviously, when you're making a fan film or independent project, budgeting is huge, you know, so that's really, that was one of the big setbacks. I believe casting for a while, it's really hard to get the right people in. So one of the main things about this film was I sat down and wrote it, but I talked to some of my actor friends in advance going, hey, would you mind being in this? You played so-and-so, and what do you think about that? And so a lot of the guy friends I have are in the movie, and they play characters that you believe, if you know them, they'd play. But the girls were really the ones that we were having trouble with, and we had to actually physically have casting calls, and we had to get the girls in there, and it was really hard to find. You know, it's hard to find people that you could believe would be in a movie like this and could sell it in front of the camera and be likable and charming and have the chemistry with the rest of the cast. So that's definitely one of the biggest setbacks, was finding the right people to be in front of the camera.
That's certainly understandable. I mean, obviously, if you don't have the right cast, then you don't really have a start to your project. But, you know, speaking of the girls and some of the Classic Friday stuff, I'm sure we can probably expect to see the classic stuff that we see in all the Friday films. Would that be safe to say?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of little Easter eggs and tributes, and there's even character moments that people, I believe, if you're, I mean, obviously, big Friday fans are gonna be able to spot out and go, oh, that's from this one, or that's gonna be from the second film, and I think a lot of fans are gonna really get a kick out of certain Easter eggs and whatnot we throw in there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So it's safe to say we can see the classic partying and, you know, some of the things that we all are accustomed to in the Friday films.
100%.
Awesome. Good to hear. Well, sounds like everything's been pretty smooth up to this point. Hopefully you don't find any other bumps in the road that kind of delay the project. But as of right now, I know you've mentioned there's going to be some recording coming up in the very near future. So with that in mind, when is there going to be a potential release of some information on when we can expect to see a finished product?
So right now our release date is still set for October 13th, 2017, which is on Friday the 13th. That was the original date the feature film was going to come out. We just thought that would be, if we finish in time and we have this out in time, that would be perfect for us to drop it there. I feel like fans would be attracted to be wanting to watch something on Friday the 13th. But also we're looking to release, hopefully we'll have a full trailer for you guys, in mid-August, where you'll be able to see the cast, you'll be able to see Jason, you'll be able to see the feel and tone, what we're really going for, and we hope you guys all enjoy it.
It sounds like it's a long ways off yet, but it's really not. I mean, we're basically 5 months, so, you know, you guys are going to have a busy summer if you're looking for an October release date, but I think that's definitely an appropriate time. Like you said, you know, October 13th sounds perfect to me.
Exactly.
Okay, so for those fans out there that might have any questions or comments and want to contact you directly, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so if anybody wants to reach me, reach out to the Facebook page. The Facebook page, obviously, Indiegogo, you could put comments there, and you can also reach me at Tony Crespo at Twitter and on Facebook. Private message me, send me a friend request, like, whatever. I'm pretty quick to respond.
All right, well, there you have it. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact him. And that wraps up another episode of Return to Camp Blood, so please rate and review wherever you listen to the show at. If you have any questions or comments or any type of feedback, you can contact us at feedback@campbloodpodcast.com, or you can contact us on our Facebook page. This episode was brought to you by Friday the 13th, The Lost Chapter, and you can check out their Facebook page at F13 Lost Chapter. Until next time.